is Dr. Ryan Murphy, who is a postdoctoral fellow with the Alcohol Research Group located in Emeryville, California. He received a doctorate in epidemiology and a master's degree in public health from the University of California, Los Angeles. His research interests include patterns of substance use and treatment-seeking behaviors among marginalized and underserved groups, as well as the mechanisms by which substance use influences high-risk sexual behaviors. His current research focuses on how partnership-level factors mediate and moderate the association between substance use and sexual risk behavior. And his talk today is entitled Sex Exchange Among Very Poor Los Angeles Area MSM Associations with Partner Type. Dr. Murphy.
Thank you. Before I begin, I just want to acknowledge my wonderful colleagues, Drs. Gorbach, Weiss, and Choptaw at UCLA, very supportive mentors for this project. Don't have any conflicts of interest to disclose. And just to kind of frame what we're talking about here, when I say sex exchange, what I mean is people providing sex to someone else and receiving something in turn for that, whether that's money, drugs, a place to stay, or some other goods. And if we look at MSM specifically, we see that several things have been correlated with sex exchange. One of the biggest is homelessness, and that's been shown MSM and other populations. Non-gay identity, high school diploma or less, and substance use. And in terms of sexual risk behavior, we've seen increased numbers of partners, increased numbers of casual partners, and non-condom use. So that's kind of why we are interested in sex exchange. I put this slide up here just to kind of frame and kind of remind everybody that in California, at least, HIV is really driven by sexual risk behavior. So this was a study here in San Francisco that looked at homeless and marginally housed individuals by risk group, and we see substantially higher HIV prevalence than other populations. And we see similar in Los Angeles as well, so we kind of feel like we're dealing with similar phenomena. The objective of this analysis was to examine the partnership context in which sex exchange occurs among MSM in Los Angeles. And based on the previous literature, we had a handful of hypotheses. First, that individuals with a recent history of homelessness would report more sex exchange compared to those without a recent history of homelessness. Individuals would be less connected to their trade partners, and we'll talk about what I mean by trade partners. And sex exchange would be strongly associated with one-time or unknown partnerships. The sample was the Los Angeles site for the Sexual Acquisition and Transmission of HIV Cooperative Agreement, or SAFCAP for short. It used respondent-driven sampling and recruited core groups of MSM and drug users, and the data was collected between 2005 and 2007. Used audio computer-assisted self-interview to measure demographics, substance use, and partnership factors. And how these partnership factors work, people were asked to identify their most three recent sexual partners, and then they were asked a range of questions about each partner. And finally, we had little under 800 MSM and a little under 1,300 male partnerships. And one thing to note here, about half our sample was actually men who have sex with men and women, but for this analysis, we're only looking at their male partnerships. The measures that we used for this analysis, we had homelessness, which was self-reported. We had partnership type, and how this worked is for each of those partners that people reported on, they were asked to identify a particular type of partner it was, and they were mutually exclusive, so they could only select one category, and the options were main, regular, friend, acquaintance, one-time, unknown, or trade. And then we asked people about sex exchange with that particular partner in the past 6 months, and basically we had two questions, one asking, have you provided sex and received something with that partner, and the inverse of that. So you gave somebody something else and received sex in exchange for that. And we use that to create a four-level variable of no exchange, giving sex in exchange for something, receiving sex in exchange for something, or both. These were the sum of the definitions of partnership types. I won't go through all of them, but a couple of the highlights. So a regular partner was someone who you've had sex with on a regular basis but is not your main partner. A one-time partner was someone you knew of or had seen before, but you had sexual contact with only one time. And then trade partners were basically people who were identified on the basis of exchanging sex for something. And then finally, for each of these partnerships, we had the Partnership Assessment Scale, or PAS for short. And it consists of four subscales that measure the knowledge that somebody has about their partner, how intimate that partnership, how much communication is in that partnership, and how much their networks overlap. So they asked, how many friends have you introduced the partner to, and vice versa. And this was based on formative work by Dr. Gorbach. So for the analyses, the first thing we looked at is just the basic distribution of partnership type. We kind of wanted to see what was out there, and we thought we should split that by homeless and not based on previous literature. Then we looked at how common sex exchange was with each partnership type. We looked at the mean partnership assessment scale scores with each partner type. And then finally, we used logistic random intercept models to test for associations between sex exchange and each of the partnership types. And we used random intercept models because we had multiple observations per person, up to three partners. So just some of the, just to kind of frame the sample here, the mean age was about 42, and we saw quite a bit of differences between people who had and hadn't been homeless in the past year. A couple that I want to highlight, the first is that people who had been homeless in the past year were more likely to be men who had sex with men and women. They didn't all identify as bisexual, but they had male and female partners in the past 6 months. And kind of counter to what you'd think, the HIV prevalence was actually lower among people who'd been homeless in the past year than not. And we can talk about that later, but I think one of the main drivers of that is the fact that people who were homeless were more likely to be MSMW. And we know the HIV prevalence is lower among bisexual males than gay-identified males. If we take a look at the distribution of partnership type in the sample, the first thing that kind of jumped out at us was that partnerships don't look all that similar between people who hadn't been homeless in the past year. Or don't look all that dissimilar, sorry. But, as expected, trade partnerships were more common among the homeless, and coincidentally, sex exchange was more common among people who experienced homelessness. But what we found really interesting is this huge discrepancy between trade partners and sex exchange. So if we take a look at the homeless, we see only 6.1% of the reported partnerships were identified as trade, yet sex exchange occurred in almost 37% of partnerships. So it got us wondering, okay, so they're exchanging sex with more than the trade partners. Who are they exchanging sex with? And so this is basically partnership type and giving sex, receiving sex, or both for each partner. And basically what we see is it was pretty common across the board with all different types of partnerships. Maybe a little bit less common with one-time or unknown. And then as expected, the majority of trade partnerships engaged in sex exchange. So once we kind of got the idea that, okay, people are exchanging sex with all sorts of different types of partners, we wanted to get a better handle on what do these partnerships actually look like. So we used the partnership assessment scale. And basically what we did is we plotted each of the subscales by the score, or each of the by partnership type. And so if we take a look here, the solid line is homeless, and the dotted line is people who hadn't been homeless in the past year. And we see a pretty clear decreasing trend as we go from main partners to unknown partners, where people seem to know less about that partner. But, interestingly enough, trade partners seem to have a higher score than at least one-time or unknown partners. If we take a look at the intimacy subscale, we see the same pattern. Decreasing trend overall, but at least among the homeless, this higher value among trade partners compared to one-time or unknown. So they seem to identify that those trade partners as someone who they felt more intimate, more connected, more close to. If we take a look at the communication subscale, same pattern. And if we look at the network subscale, same pattern. So we feel pretty good in that we saw this very similar trend regardless of which of the subscales we looked at. So finally, we thought, well, let's put it all into our multivariate model and see what comes out. And let me just walk you through here because I know it's pretty dense. Each column is its own regression. So the outcome for that first column was a main partner, yes or no, and then the predictors are on the side. And if you take a look at regular partners, the reference here is no exchange. So people who gave and received sex relative to people who didn't exchange sex were more likely to report or had an higher odds, I should say, of reporting a regular partner. So we see with regular partners, it's this give and take. Sometimes I'm giving the sex and I'm getting something. Sometimes it's the inverse where I'm giving something and I'm getting the sex. And we see with acquaintance partners higher odds of reporting giving sex relative to no exchange. Where I think it really gets interesting is when we take a look at these one-time partners. So basically giving sex or giving and receiving sex relative to no exchange were associated with a lower odds of reporting a one-time partner. So it seemed like less sex exchange was going on with these one-time partners. And if we take a look at receiving sex, it wasn't significant, but in the same direction. So we see a similar trend. And that's also true with the unknown partners as well. Not significant, but all negatively associated. And then, as expected, all types of exchange were associated with trade partners. So just to kind of summarize a little bit here, basically, partnership type should not be used to infer the presence or absence of sex exchange. It's kind of a measurement issue. But if you just looked at trade partners, you'd underestimate the prevalence of sex exchange. Participants were fairly connected to their trade partners, and I think we saw 3 points of evidence with that. Positive associations with regular partners, negative associations with one time, and the fact that trade partners had these higher PAS or partnership assessment scale scores relative to one time or unknown partners. And other than the fact that sex exchange was more common among the homeless compared to the non-homeless, sexual partnerships by and large seemed pretty similar between the two groups. So if we look at all the other partnership types, we didn't see a lot of differences. And I didn't present the data for time reasons, but we looked at other variables like concurrency, condom use at last sex, things like that between the two, and we didn't find much difference between the homeless and the non-homeless participants. There are some limitations that I think we need to make sure we realize with this data set. First, we had an older, very poor sample, so we don't know how well it generalizes to other populations of MSM, particularly younger MSM or higher SES MSM. Homelessness was assessed in the past year, not at the time of the reported partnership. So we don't have that. Ideally, we'd like to see those time points coincide or some longitudinal data where we follow people as they cycle in and out of homelessness and see how partnerships change. But unfortunately, we didn't have that. And it was a cross-sectional data, so we're talking about associations, not causality. We can't make quite so strong a claim. But there are some strengths. And the first is we did have a very unique sample of poor MSM in Los Angeles, and it was about a 50-50 split between people who had and hadn't experienced homelessness in the past year. So we really did get a very unique group. We had partnership-level data, so we had up to 3 observations or 3 partnerships per participant. So while we might by no means completely enumerated people's sexual networks, I think we did a better job than you'd do from last partner or just kind of a global measure of risk. And we were able to look at the direction of the sex exchange. So we could look at if people were giving sex, receiving something, vice versa, or doing both. And I think that really panned out when we looked at the regular partnerships, where we saw that the type of exchange that was significantly associated was doing both. So that with those regular partners, it was really kind of a mutual give and take in both directions. So with that, I would just like to acknowledge our funding and say thank you for listening.